light-duty diesel passenger car vehicles haven't made significant impact in market impact in the United States, for one. So there hadn't been a lot of data publicly available from that sector of diesel vehicle. So that was part of our interest. In addition, the JRC and the European Union had been measuring a variety of different vehicles there and had seen some performance that they did not believe was in line with what certification level should be. So they had contracted ICCT to look at any of those vehicles, those European vehicles particularly, that were exported into the United States and see what their performance was in the U.S. under U.S. driving patterns.
And is it correct that initially your team thought there was a flaw in the experiment because of the data that you were getting back?
We entered into the experiment assuming or expecting the vehicles to be perform at or near the certification levels that were associated with each of those vehicles. And when we saw numbers that were higher than that, it's just as diligent researchers, you go back and double and triple check your numbers. So we did that. And then, we were working with our colleagues at the California Air Resources Board, and they took the same three vehicles that we were testing over the road, brought them back into the test cell, which would be the same kind of environment that they were tested and certified under, and the vehicles performed just like their certification levels. What we experienced or what we measured is called off-cycle emissions. So there are emissions that are certified or emission levels that are certified against. And when you see excursions from those emissions levels, that's deemed the off-cycle emissions. So there was something happening that was causing them to behave differently in the field than that was happening, than they did in the vehicle chassis dynamometer test cell. And then from those results, the EPA and the Air Resources Board launched their own independent investigation. And then at the conclusion of that, you saw announcements last Friday.
So the initial research, though, it was conducted in 2013. You all finalized in 2014. And here we are more than a year and a half later. And now the entire world is talking about this study. Did it surprise you that it took that long?
It didn't surprise me that it took that long, to be quite honest with you. We've measured emissions from hundreds and thousands of vehicles, and many times you'll see, excursions from on-cycle emission performance, and we report those, and the majority of the time those result in voluntary recall. And then we hear nothing about it. We're not the regulators. We're not the enforcement officials. So to be quite honest, it after a certain amount of time had passed, it kind of left my mind, and we were thinking about, well, maybe we could go look at some different vehicles and propose some additional studies, but that hasn't happened yet. And considering that once the results were made public, it does take quite a bit of time for a large agency like the EPA and for Air Resources Board to do their due diligence and to follow protocol, and especially when you're looking at a decision or an announcement that's as impactful as the announcement that the two agencies made.
This has obviously received a lot of attention in the past few days, not quite a week yet. How have you and your team been dealing with the publicity that's surrounded this?
I can tell you that I've never been involved in any kind of publicity anywhere near this level. We're shocked at what's happened and how much international attention we've garnered. Anecdotally, I can tell you that we actually have a program here that is to train our researchers on media relations, and I've never participated in that, but I would probably be one of the best guinea pigs that they could advertise with from now on, being that I had not participated and I was thrown into this whirlwind.
I do want to ask you a little bit about your background and the background of the research center that you work in, the type of research that you all do, because this project was not the first when it comes to emissions that you all have done.
That's correct. We got our start in 1989. We actually were contracted by the U.S. Department of Energy to develop the world's first mobile chassis dynamometer for heavy-duty vehicles. We expanded thereafter into engine dynamometers, and then in 1998, the consent decree, which was pretty monumental, was entered into by the U.S. Department of Justice and the six settling heavy-duty diesel engine manufacturers. And as part of that work, we were actually contracted by the manufacturers to help them develop a new era of emissions testing, which is actually in use or onboard testing, the same kind of technology that was used, you know, for this little project. From there, we've, you know, expanded into nearly every size and market of engine, from small single cylinder up through marine and locomotive engines, both on and off highway. You know, we've also, the work that we've done here led to promulgation of particulate matter standards that allowed diesels in underground mines. So, you know, we researchers, myself included, had to testify at federal hearings for those. So we've been at this emissions measurement and emissions research game for a number of years.
Am I allowed to ask you what you're working on now? Is that something you can talk about?
Yeah, actually, one of the big projects we're working on now is funded through DOE. And it's looking at methane emissions and the performance of large power systems at well pad sites in the shale regions of the U.S. We actually have two different projects we're involved in. There's one transparent well project here in Morgantown, and there's the other project is you know, just field located at various sites across the United States, Texas, Oklahoma, West Virginia, Pennsylvania, Ohio.